Listening Library presents Braided by Leah Sipes. Read for you by Jesse Valinsky. To Hadassah, who said, "Please write one about Rapunzel." Prologue. On the day my long-lost sister came home, I cut off my hair. I had always wanted to cut my hair. Strands of it were constantly tickling my face, blocking my view, and getting into my soup. It was so silky that it wouldn't stay securely in any hairstyle. It was so long that it took two maids at least an hour to braid it, and sometimes much longer, depending on how elaborate and powerful a hairstyle they were working on. The magic in it could be uncomfortable at times, especially when the mage insisted that we try one of her new spell combinations. And it was a constant reminder of my grand and noble destiny as the future queen of the Borderland. A destiny that should have belonged to my sister. I had suggested cutting it only once before, when I was too young to really understand why my hair was so important. I had never before seen my mother that angry. "You have a destiny and a responsibility," she had told me, watching with her arms folded while maids washed caramel out of my hair. 1 minute with a pair of scissors would have solved that problem. So I wasn't happy about the two-hour-long washing and detangling ordeal I was being subjected to instead. "Your hair does not belong just to you. It is the source of the magic that keeps our country safe. It is important to our people." Her own hair flamed red as she spoke, just in case I'd had any doubt about how furious she was. Both embarrassment and anger could turn our hair red, but my mother was never embarrassed. She had been interrupted while getting ready for bed, so her hair hung in loose, thick waves to the floor, instead of being coiled in the tight, intricate braid spells she normally wore. "Why can't it be important to our people while also being short?" I asked. Just then, one of the maids working on the caramel hit a particularly tough tangle, and I yelped in pain. My mother's face softened, and so did her hair, fading to pale pink. "I'm sorry, Cinna," she said. "I remember when I was about your age. My maid arranged my braids into a spell to make me a graceful dancer. It was so elaborate that by the end of the night's dance, my hair was in thousands of knots. We had to soak it in oil for an hour before we could untangle it." Which didn't seem to me like the same thing at all. My mother could have said no to the hairstyle, or so I assumed. It was hard to imagine anyone making my mother do anything she didn't want to do. But my mother's hair had gone almost back to blonde, so I said, "If you could do it, so can I." Her hair turned violet with pride. She beamed at me, and I looked away, barely able to breathe under the weight of her expectations. A very familiar feeling. But no longer. Now my older sister, Rapunzel, was back. The firstborn daughter, the true princess, the kidnapped heir. She would take the throne, control the dragons, and keep the kingdom safe from the Fae. All the power and all the responsibility would be hers, just like they always should have been. I couldn't wait. I had only one glimpse of Rapunzel from my window that morning, as Sir Joshan helped her out of the coach in the courtyard. I'd focused on the fact that her long, silky hair, unbraided and loose, looked so similar to mine. Her hair had been the golden yellow of happiness, so at that moment it had matched mine in color, too. But now, as I examined myself in the mirror, I realized that it wasn't just our hair. Our faces were also similar. I didn't resemble my mother, except for my hair, of course. And though people said I looked like my father, I had never been able to see that resemblance in any of the portraits we had of him. But I did look like my sister. That morning, Rapunzel had glanced up at the window as if sensing my gaze, and I'd drawn back. Only later had I figured out why I was afraid to meet her eyes. After all, I had spent my whole life wishing for my sister. But Rapunzel had never known she had a sister. And now, after all those years cut off from her family, she'd come back to discover that she was no longer the sole princess of the Borderland. That she had an 11-year-old sister who had been raised to be queen. What if she felt like she had been replaced? What if she hated me? What if, after all I'd done to get my sister back, she saw me as nothing but a rival? I smiled at my image in the mirror, imagining that I was smiling at her, that she was smiling back. I kept smiling until my hair turned from anxious orange-brown to hopeful blue. I couldn't wait to meet her. And I knew how to show her, without any room for doubt, that I didn't want anything that was rightfully hers. I lifted the scissors and began to cut. 1.
Dear Rapunzel, my nanny taught me to spell your name. I am your sister. You do not know me because you were kidnapped before I was born. I hope they find you soon. Love, your sister, Cinna.
I give up, Nanny Cresta said. There is absolutely nothing I can do with this disaster. Honestly, Cinna, if you were going to do something as foolish as chop off your hair, couldn't you at least have chopped it off evenly?
I pulled at the too tight collar of my gown. The edges of my short, uneven hair tickled the back of my neck. My hair had turned pink with irritation, so it matched my face. I'm sure it will be fine. Nobody will care what I look like. Not with Rapunzel in the room. I could feel Nanny Cresta's gaze on the back of my head. That's how intense it was. I kept my eyes on the mirror instead of turning around to see her expression. I knew perfectly well that I sounded like a sulky child. In my defense, I was both sulking and a child.
Scenariosia.
Nanny Cresta had been my nursemaid since I was born, so she could get away with speaking plainly to me. The fact that she was using my full name meant she was about to do exactly that.
Everyone's had 11 years to look at you. Your sister has been back for only one day. The last thing we want to do is draw attention away from her.
She straightened, putting one hand on the small of her back.
Not that we could, even if we wanted to.
Her return is so miraculous, Oriana added. Of course everyone wants to see her. Her rescue was thrilling. I can't believe Sir Joshan actually got her out of the fairy realms without either of them dying or being horribly cursed.
I gave Nanny Cresta a pleading look. Oriana was technically my maid, but her only real task was helping with my hair, which had, until this afternoon, been too heavy for Nanny Cresta's arthritic hands to manage alone. Oriana, who was 16, was great at braids. Nevertheless, it seemed to me that we could do without her help today. But one look at Nanny Cresta's face told me there was no point in my asking. Not for that, or for anything else.
Of course everyone wants to see Rapunzel, Nanny Cresta said. But it seems Scenariosia has arranged things so that everyone will look at her instead.
I winced and ran my fingers through my hair. It spread out around my face in frizzy waves. When it was long, it had been straight as silk. My face looked so different. I didn't think this through, I admitted. Nanny Cresta sniffed.
That's an understatement.
But maybe we still have time to fix it before the banquet? I said hopefully. The banquet to welcome my sister was going to begin in about 2 hours, and I couldn't wait. Mage Talyani had already prepared a ballad to relate the truth about her rescue.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?